From Hollywood, it's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy.
Now, Cliff, you there can help me. I'll mow you down.
Transcribed for Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, with Mortimer Snerd, Effie Clinker, Carol Richards, Ray Noble, Gary Crosby, Jack Kirkwood, Elvia Allman, Kate McKenna, the Mellow Men, yours truly, John Heaston, and our special guest, oceanography expert, Dr. Roger Revelle. And here they are now, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Well, Charlie, this is it.
What's it?
Today is the big day. Bergen sings.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Yeah. I forgot. Well, good night, folks. We're a little late tonight.
No, no.
You mean you're going to go through with it?
I certainly am, of course. Nothing you will say will discourage me.
No?
No.
You want a bet?
No, no. A little later in the show, I'm going to sing on the air for the very first time.
But, Bergen, you're too stiff to sing. To be a popular singer today, you gotta be twitchy.
Oh. Stop that. I think I should be a fine singer. After all, you know, I have a natural ear for music.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, it's a shame you don't have a natural voice for it.
Charlie, I don't like your attitude. Can't you think of a kind word to say about my singing?
Okay, if that's what you want, I'll give it to you. There again?
Yes, Charles?
I think you got a voice like Caruso.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Well, that's better. Robinson Caruso. Be none of that stuff. Yeah, you've got to learn a lot about kindness yet.
Yeah?
Yes. For example, I'll give you a good illustration of kindness.
I wish you would.
Do you know the story of Androcles and the lion?
Yeah, I've been trapped.
Oh. Once upon a time.
Ye gods, will the story never end? All right.
Give me a chance. One day Androcles went out hunting with the emperor.
Yeah? Yeah.
The emperor saw a wild boar, and he took careful aim with his crossbow.
Yeah.
And boing! And what do you think?
It wasn't loaded. Oh.
No, he missed.
Oh, he missed, yeah. Oh, then he was loaded.
No, no. Then, when Androcles saw that the emperor had missed, he took a quick shot.
He took what?
Yeah.
Oh, he was nipping too.
No. And Androcles killed the boar that the emperor had missed.
Oh, I think he killed the wrong boar.
Yeah.
And you know who I mean, don't you?
The emperor was so jealous of Androcles' talents that he made him a slave.
Yeah.
Just because he was clever.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's just what's happened to me too, folks. Yeah. I was just too cute.
Yeah. But one day Androcles ran away, and looking for a place to hide, he found a cave and crawled in.
Try to sleep it off, huh?
No, no. He sat there meditating, and a terrifying monster appeared at the mouth of the cave. Who do you think it was?
An income tax collector?
No. No.
Oh, Mighty Murphy.
No, it wasn't. It was the king of the beasts, a lion.
Oh?
The lion raised his paw
and left the room.
No, no, no.
I don't care for the story, but I love to heckle, y'all. Yeah. Don't let him get a foothold, folks. I warn you.
When the lion raised his paw, Androcles noticed that there was a thorn in it. And Androcles pulled out the thorn
and said, "What a good boy am I."
Yes. With his injured paw repaired, the lion walked out. And do you know where he went?
Back to MGM?
No, no.
To collect his blue cross?
No. Anyway, To make a long story short...
Well, isn't it a little late to think of that?
No. Sometime later, Androcles was captured, and because he had run away, the emperor threw him in the lion's den.
And the lions threw him back?
No. The lion roared and was about to spring when he recognized Androcles as an old friend...
From the Lions Club.
No, no. And remembering his kind deed, the lion graciously spared his life.
Oh, nuts.
The emperor was so pleased that he set Androcles,
Hinkabee.
Yeah.
My name is Androcles. You're welcome.
Yeah. Free.
Huh?
Free.
What free?
Androcles free.
You better start from the beginning. All right.
Once upon a time... Oh, no! Now, what is the moral of this fable?
Well, I would say this. A fool and his stories are soon started.
No.
Today is April 15th, our income tax deadline, but that doesn't bother Carol Richards. No, sir, she's just a cockeyed optimist.
When the sky is a bright canary yellow, I forget every cloud I've ever seen. So they call me a cockeyed optimist, immature and incurably green. I have heard people rant and rave and bellow that we're done and we might as well be dead. But I'm only a cockeyed optimist, and I can't get it into my head. They say the human race is fallen on its face and hasn't very far to go. But every whippoorwill is telling me a bill and telling me it just ain't so. I could say that life was just a bowl of jello and appear more intelligent and smart. But I'm stuck like a joke with a thing called hope. Can't get it out of my heart. Not this time.
I hear the human race is falling on its face and hasn't very far to go. A bill and telling me it just ain't so.
I could say that life was just a bowl of jello and appear more intelligent and smart, but I'm stuck like a dope with a thing.
It gives us great pleasure to present the constructive and educational portion of our program, Professor Kirkwood and his do-it-yourself department.
Now! Ladies and gentlemen, it's often been said there is no greater joy than that found in an honest day's toil. So we now bring you the miserable Professor Kirkwood.
Thank you, do-it-yourself fans.
It's always a great honor to be here on the podium with you, with such a brilliant mind and a great intellect.
Professor, could you tell us what are you featuring today?
Of course, boy. Today I intend to tell you about my undo-it-yourself kit for strip teasers.
An undo-it-yourself kit? Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
You actually intend to discuss strip teasers?
That's right, boy. They're becoming very important nowadays. Why, did you know that Gypsy Rose Lee is going to run for Congress?
Gypsy Rose Lee in Congress?
Yeah. Can you just picture her putting a motion before the House?
Professor, you talk as if you actually know Gypsy Rose Lee.
Oh, I do, boy. In fact, I had hoped to have her as our guest today.
I see.
But unfortunately, she had something on. Something off. Oh, that one sneaked up on me, too.
Yeah. That will do, Professor. I
say, Chapman, if you're at all interested, I used to know a girl in burlesque.
Oh, you did?
Yes, old boy, yes. They used to call her Sunburn.
Oh.
Yeah, because she'd just stand there and peel. I just threw that in for what it's worth.
Well, throw it out. It's worth nothing.
Now to get on.
First of all, my kit contains instructions for the balloon dancer.
Oh.
You know, the girl that dances with a bubble.
Yes, sure.
With a bubble? I say, how unconventional. I mean, can't she get a fellow to dance with?
You don't understand, Ray. This girl does a dance,
yes.
And all she wears is a bubble.
Her only attire is a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, how dreadful. Really? I mean, how shocking, how vulgar. How does one get a ticket to see
her? Ray. Ray. Watch yourself. You're weak inside. Yeah, control yourself.
It's not an easy life, though. Yeah. I once knew a girl that was a bubble dancer.
What happened to her?
One day her career blew up in her face.
Oh.
Poor kid got 30 days.
Yeah. Maybe we better get back to your kit, Professor. What else does it contain?
Well, let's see. Oh, there's this book on the art of fan dancing.
Fan dancing is an art?
Of course, boy.
Mm-hmm.
A fan dancer has to move the fan slow enough to keep it interesting, but fast enough to keep out of jail.
Yeah. True.
It also contains a few dozen empty tea bags.
Now, what are they for?
For the girls to send their costumes to the laundry in.
I think if they're strip teasers, what kind of tea bags do you use? Orange peekaboo?
No.
Don't you get that? It's funny. Orange peekaboo?
Oh, I hate him. Then, most important of all, my kit contains orchestral arrangements for appropriate songs to accompany your dance.
Oh, yes.
Such as Tease for Two.
Very good.
And I Got Plenty of Nothing.
How about Shake, Rattle, and Roll?
Yeah. Or how about the Hungarian Unwrap, Sodi?
What about a pretty girdle? It's like a melody.
And of course, then there is zipper-dee-doo-dah.
Or there's no business like show business.
Always. I think that's enough, Professor. Tell me, have you sold many of your kits?
Oh, hundreds of them, boy. Why, every day I... Oh, yeah. Pardon me. That's probably one of my satisfied clients now.
Yeah,
sure. Hello. What's that? You were right in the middle of your bubble dance when the police raided the place? They've got you in jail, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be down as soon as I can get away. Yeah, see you later, Mother.
That was your mother?
Yeah, poor Mom. One of her bubbles broke.
Oh.
I told her not to use that cheap soap. I gotta run now. So long.
Good night, Professor. Good night.
Gather round, all you children, both young and old, as the Mellow Men tell us the story of Robin Hood.
Robin Hood riding through the glen. Robin Hood with his band of men. Feared by the bad, loved by the good, Robin Hood. Robin Hood, Robin Hood. He called
the greatest archers to a tavern on the green. They vowed to help the people of the king.
They handled all the trouble on the English country scene, and still found plenty of time to sing. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, riding through the glen. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, with his band of men.
Was cheered by everyone. His Lady Marian threw him a rose. The King of England knighted him, the Earl of Huntingdon, and that's the way the legend goes.
The heck is holding up my head then?
Yeah.
I worked on that one all evening.
Yeah, yeah. Just look at you, Mortimer.
Well,
just look at you.
Well, discouraging, huh?
No. No, I was just looking at you. I just realized, you know, you're growing up.
Well, what was that?
I say you're growing up.
Well, if you got to grow, that's as good a direction as any.
Yes, I... Anyway, I think it's time that you gave some thought to your future.
Yeah? Give some thought?
Yes, I would.
Well, okay, I will. Let's see. Well, I'm glad that's over.
Yeah. It isn't easy to pick just the right profession.
No, I don't suppose it is, no.
Frankly, I can't see you in an office.
You can't?
No.
Maybe I'm out to lunch. Well, you know, I could become a street sweeper.
A street sweeper?
Yeah, I hear they're cleaning up. Yeah.
Would you like to be a street sweeper?
Well, I heard of one sweeper of the streets, yeah. Worked his way up, and now he owns his own street.
He owns his own
That's making good.
Yes, I imagine it is, in a way. Are you sure that that's what you want to be?
Well, no. If I could have my druthers, yes. I'd rather be an explorer.
Yes, travel.
Yeah. I'd like to travel like that famous Dr. Presume. Yeah.
Dr. Presume?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Well, you know, his full name is that Dr. Livingston, I Presume.
Oh, yes, that's you. Well, I think exploring is a wonderful ambition.
Yeah. Oh, hush up out there. Well, yeah. Just because you never heard of him, that don't mean that he ain't there. Don't mean that at all, you see. Yeah. No. Bunch of city slickers out there.
Oh, that...
There ain't a one of them that can milk a cow, I'll bet you. Oh. That's right.
Yes, I think that's a good thing you picked on this exploring. Do you know what the great explorer De Soto said?
Groucho sent me? No. No. Well, that's the way it goes, Jim.
Well, I gather from all this that you would like to travel.
Yeah, I would.
Any particular place?
Oh, yeah. I'd like to go to that Egypt.
Egypt,
Bill. I'd like to go to Cairo and visit the chiropractors.
Oh, well, no.
So you'd like to leave the farm behind you, eh?
Well, it'd be a heck of a job to take it with me.
Yes.
I've thought about it, yeah, but it wouldn't work, no.
Just think, my Mortimer and Explorer.
Yeah. Still goes, yeah. I think I'll first discover the East and West Poles. The East and West Poles, yeah.
You must be thinking of the North Pole. See, it would be awfully cold exploring in the far north.
Well, I'd wear the long end of there. Yeah. So in case I wanted to change my mind, I could always back out.
You could back out.
You see, lady, they got an escape hatch in them. All right.
I think a better place to explore might be Africa. You know, there are places in Africa where a man has never set foot.
Yeah, went around on his hands, eh?
No. But it is dangerous. Some of the natives of Africa are headhunters.
What are them headhunters always hunting heads for? They must be crazy about noodle soup or something.
Yeah, maybe. You must be thinking about the cannibals. Now, they're the ones that eat people.
Yeah. But cannibals, they only eat bad people, don't they?
Only bad people?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Well, I've often heard it said you can't keep a good man down, so I...
Mortimer, I don't believe you've got the brains that you were born with.
Well, that's where I'm smart. I travel light. You travel...
Now, here he is, direct from a 2 weeks engagement at the Bank of America, Gary Crosby.
One night I was late, came home from a date, slipped out of my shoes at the door. But then from my front room, I heard a jump tune. I looked in, and here's what I saw. There in the night was a wonderful scene. Mom was dancing with Dad to my record machine. And while they danced, only one thing was wrong. They were trying to waltz to a rock and roll song. Oh, one, two, and then rock. One, two, and then roll. They did the rock and roll waltz. Rock, two, three, roll, two, three. It looks so cute to me. I love the rock and roll world. I want to and then rock. One, two, and then roll. One, two, and then jump. It's good for your soul. It's old, but it's new. Let's do the rock and roll world. One, two, and then rock. One, two, and then roll. They did the rock and roll. Rock, two, three, roll, two, three. It looks so cute to me. I love the rock and roll.
One, two, and then rock. One, two, and then roll. And then jump. It's good for your soul. It's old, but it's new. I love the rock and roll world.
Edgar Bergen Hour, transcribed with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Men, and Ray Noble, will be back after station identification. The new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Man, Ray Noble, and yours truly, John Heaston. And now, ladies and gentlemen, comes a history-making moment for our program. For the first time in almost 20 years on radio, Edgar Bergen will sing.
Oh, no. Lock the doors. This place can be turned into a garage in 2 seconds.
That will do, Charlie.
Now, don't tell me, Bergen. Don't tell me you're actually going to go through with this horrible thing.
Yes, of course. I think the time is ripe for my singing debut.
Yeah, the time may be ripe, but your voice is rotten, Bergen.
No way to talk, Charlie.
Oh, come now. Let's face it, Bergen. You've got a set of pipes that even Drano wouldn't help.
Oh. I think I have a wonderful singing career ahead of me.
You do?
Yes. After all, the famous singer Jenny Lind was Swedish, and I'm Swedish.
Yeah, so what? So are meatballs. Well, what does it get them? Well, we're in for it, folks. We're in for it. First, the Swedish nightingale. And now, the Swedish bald eagle.
Now, wait a minute. I've heard enough. John, my introduction, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are very proud indeed to present a shining new star.
Let's leave Bergen's head out of this. All right.
A shining new star in our vocal spotlight. This is the moment the entire music world has been waiting for. Many singers have sung romantic songs in French, Spanish, and Italian, but Edgar doesn't know French, Spanish, and Italian, so he will sing in Swedish. Here he is, making his debut as a singer, the one and only Edgar Bergen.
Is a maid in the lighthouse tower. Ye vis, she's cute by ye. When my ship is homeward bound, I just wait for the hour. My Inga will you to me. For Inga, for Inga, who ne'er meek so chair, ne'er bogen a danza o grossa. Pasteran me gungan de billion a bear, hun altid o ger meek so chair.
Yahoo!
De hennes billion säkert förut han slatt, och i mitt hjärta är både dag och natt. Min Inga och Vinga, när himmot jag stör, hon ledar med en Inga fjör.
Yahoo! Inga och Vinga, ye wits I love you, oh, honest and truly I do. Say you'll be mine when I stay home to you, then all of my dreams will come true. Yahoo! Ta henne till jag säker på rosan svart, och i mitt hjärta är hon både dag och natt. Min Inga på
loving are, he mows your cheer. Whom lead a nickname ring appear. Yahoo!
Thank you, music lovers.
Thank you.
You see, good music isn't dead yet.
No, but you killed it.
Oh.
Are we still on the air?
Oh, yes.
Unbelievable.
Now, Charlie, tell the truth. Did you ever hear anything like that before?
This I can gladly answer. Only once.
Only once?
Yeah. That was when the cat got into disposal unit.
I... I think the audience enjoyed my singing.
Hey, boy! Oh, what a voice! Oh, you fed me!
Oh. Well, holy smoke.
He brought Chloe out of the swamp. Sounds like her foot is still caught in the mud. Oh.
Madam.
Let me have Madam. It. Oh, that singing did something to me.
Yeah, it didn't do enough.
I'm very flattered, madam, but please,
oh.
I...
Oh, Eddie boy, yes. Send me. Send me.
Has anybody got a stamp?
Eddie boy, when you sang, I broke out of goose pimples.
Oh, I thought it was your figure.
No.
You want to bet?
Oh, Eddie boy, the sound of your voice just makes me swoon.
Yes, yes.
Sing to me.
Yes.
Sing to me.
Well, of course, I live for my public, if you insist.
Oh, no.
Inga, povinga.
No!
Why, the poor girl fainted.
And you only use one tonsil.
Yes. Well... This opens up a whole new career. I think I'll sing a little Swedish song every week.
I'll get it. You must be tired. Hello? Hello? Yes, yes. Okay. Yeah, I'll tell him. All right, I'll tell him.
Yeah, who was it? Another one of my fans?
No, it was Secretary Dulles.
Dulles?
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah. Sweden just dropped out of the UN.
Oh,
And now our program tries to come back as the lovely Carol Richards steps into the vocal spotlight. And believe me, honey, this time I'm glad there is a you.
Extraordinary people. I'm glad there is you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now present our Meet the People department. Our guest tonight is a seagoing geologist whose profession is the exploration of the great unknown world beneath the sea. I'd like you to meet the director of the Scripps Institution of Oceanography at La Jolla, California, Dr. Roger Revelle.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening.
Well, Dr. Revelle, we're very glad to have you with us this evening. And as director of Scripps Institution of Oceanography and a geologist actively engaged in the study of the sea, we realize that you are the head of what is perhaps the most important institution of its kind in the world. But tonight we'd like to chat with you a little bit about the less involved. The life...
That's a good idea, Edgar. And believe me, underneath that smooth surface of the ocean, there's a vast, complex world that's as foreign to us as life on Mars would be. I think that everything about it is fascinating.
Well, I've heard about fish off the coast of Florida swimming over to Europe and spawning, something that was quite amazing. Now, what impulsion would send a fish thousands of miles away from the home waters?
Well, I think you must be talking about eels.
Yeah, I guess that's what it was.
And, both the European and the American eels, after they've lived in the rivers...
Yes.
Several years feel that old urge, and they go out to sea. They go out to the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and spawn.
And then they return home, don't they?
No, they don't. They die. But the young eels that are born out there in the Sargasso Sea stay there for a year or so until they're about 3 or 4 inches long. Mm-hmm. And then they swim back to America and back to Europe. That's what seems the strangest thing to me, that the young eels, which have never been anywhere except in the Sargasso Sea, nowhere to go. They go to the rivers where their parents came from.
Mm-hmm.
They must have some sort of hereditary memory.
That's the sort of one that equals the swallows going back to Capistrano. Why do salmons die after they lay their eggs?
Well, the female, of course, lays the eggs and dies. The male fertilizes the eggs and he dies too.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they've gone just about as far as they can go.
They gave their all.
Yeah.
Dr. Revelle, I recall hearing that you think rather highly of the octopus. I think you mentioned that in your conversation.
Yes, Edgar. They're very intelligent creatures. Most people think of them, of course, as aggressive and hostile and a great menace, lurking behind rocks ready to reach out and grab you. But actually, they're quite timid and afraid. They hide behind the rocks because they're afraid of open spaces.
Well, you mentioned that they can be trained, too, that they're intelligent.
Yes, they certainly can. For instance, if you put a crab, they're very fond of crabs, and if you put a crab inside a mason jar, you can teach an octopus to unscrew the jar and reach in and take out the crab. But I've never heard of one putting the lid back on.
What would you consider the highest social order in marine life? Is there anything approaching the organizational abilities of the ant colonies, for example?
Well, there's several things you can say here. Some primitive forms of marine life are halfway a colony and halfway an individual. And of course, everybody knows that fish school, but they never seem to have a leader. The only marine animals that really work together are the killer whales, which cooperate in hunting much like wolves do in hunting in a pack.
Are there many whales along our Pacific coast here?
Yes, there are a lot of them, and they're called the California gray whales, and they're wonderfully interesting. I live right on the beach at La Jolla, and at times I've seen as many as 2,000 whales each winter passing close to shore on their way to down to Lower California, where they go to the lagoons down there.
They go down there to spend the winters, don't they?
No, they actually have a much more serious purpose than that. They go down there to have their young.
Oh, I see.
The cows, the female whales, go inside the lagoon, and the male waits outside the bar of the lagoon, Just like males everywhere waiting for their mate to have the baby.
Mm-hmm. I can just see those poor whales now pacing up and down that ocean outside the bar. Well, we know the ocean currents affect the climate of the world, you know, making, like, for example, Western Europe much warmer. Do you have any comment on this article that was in Saturday Evening Post about the world is getting colder? Do you go along with that?
Well, Edgar, I don't think it is. I think it's probably getting warmer, and this is really because of something that human beings are doing. We're burning an awful lot of coal and oil and natural gas, and this is putting a lot of carbon dioxide into the air. You know, we use it all the time as dry ice, but this is what's produced by burning these fuels. And the carbon dioxide absorbs heat, much like the glass in a greenhouse. And I think it may very well be possible that within the next 50 years, the climate everywhere will get a little warmer. And this will really mean that quite a few things may happen. It may not, but it's certainly possible. One is that Russia will get about 2,000 miles of ice-free ports in the Arctic Ocean. She might become a great maritime power. Another possibility is that the climate of Southern California and the Southwest in general will continue to get drier than it is now. The hopeful thing about it is that Alaska and Northern Canada may be able to may turn into a place where a lot more people can live.
Well, I think this has been a very, very exciting little chat we've had here, and I want to thank you very much, Doctor.
Thank you.
Good night, Dr. Revelle.
Gary Crosby returns to the microphone to bring us One for My Baby.
Well, it's 2:45. No one in the place except you and me. So set 'em up, Joel. Got a little story that I think you should know. We're drinking, my friend, to the end of a brief episode. Make it one for my baby, one more for the road. Now, Joe, you'd never know it, buddy, I'm a kind of poet, and I got a lot of things I could say. And when I'm gloomy, you simply gotta listen to me until it's all talked away. That's how it goes. And Joe, I know you're getting anxious to close. So thanks for the cheer. Hope you didn't mind my bending your ear. This torch that I found must be drowned, or it soon might explode. Make it one for my baby, one more for the road. Ooh, it's a long, long, low down and low.
There's a smoother taste in smoking. It's the Viceroy taste.
Smoother, smoother, smoother Viceroy.
Smoother taste, 'cause Viceroy has twice as many
Yes, smoother taste because of twice as many filters in every Viceroy tip. No wonder millions are changing their smoking habits, changing to smoother Viceroys. It's the smoke that's never rough. For only Viceroy gives you 20,000 tiny filters in every tip, made from pure cellulose, soft, snow-white, natural. That's twice as many filters as the other two largest-selling filter brands. That's why Viceroy is never rough. Never, no, never rough. It's the smoother taste in smoking.
A smoother taste, cause Viceroy has twice as many filters as the other two leading filter cigarettes.
Smoke smoother, Viceroy.
That was superb, Gary. Outstanding, terrific, and sensational.
Thank you very much for the compliments, Charles, but I'd still like that $10 I loaned you last week.
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm very sorry, but I've invested it for you. I'm using the money to make a movie. You know all those pictures they're making about ancient Rome lately? Well, I bought all the pages of the script that were thrown out, you see.
Oh, this boy is the Cecil B. DeMille of the wastebasket. Tell me, when are you making this super stinker?
Well, right now, and you're in it, lucky boy. Good. It starts like this.
Charlie McCarthy's Putrid Productions presents that exciting drama of ancient Rome.
Ben Him.
The scene is the Emperor's palace. Stretched out in dissolute splendor on his throne is the fat and bloated Nero. Heavy eyelids half closed over bloodshot eyes. Corrupt, bestial, lips stained with wine. He speaks.
I'm a slob. Oh, what a party last night. Oh, my head. I think I'll buzz my trusted slave, Ben Him.
Thou called, O magnificent one? O noble Nero, light of the sun, ruler of all men, emperor of Rome, king of the universe?
Well, you left out handball champ of the YWCA. Oh, my head. How'd I get home last night?
We had a little trouble with you, sire.
Yeah.
You know that statue of Aphrodite in the middle of the fountain?
Yeah.
You kept standing there saying, "Hurry up and finish your shower, dear. I want to get in and shave." Ah, but this is another day, Meyer.
Yeah. Meyer, that's sire. Now be gone, do you hear? Be gone. It's time for me to practice my fiddle.
Announcing the arrival on track 12 of the courier from Egypt.
Hail, O magnificent one, O noble Nero, light of the sun, ruler of all men, emperor of Rome, and king of the universe, and handball champ of the YWCA.
Ah, very good, very good. Take two slave girls out of petty cash for that.
Thank you, sire.
Oh! I've been stabbed in the back! Oh!
Who's that, Julius Caesar?
No. No, that was Julius Cronman. He put money in the picture, too.
When he hit those high notes, I thought it was Julius LaRosa.
Yes.
I say, I bring you good tidings.
Yeah, good.
Cleopatra, Queen of Egypt, has arrived for the chariot races at the Colosseum.
Cleopatra? Luscious daughter of the East, jewel of the Nile, lotus flower of the Orient?
And handball champ of the YMCA.
Look, sire, that must be her coming into the court now.
Ah, get my fiddle. Nero is burning.
Wow. Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither was she.
It was a long trip, but I have finally arrived.
Yeah, you sure did. Care for a game of handball? Would you prefer a little fiddling?
You are so beautiful, O Cleopatra.
Oh, but I am not Cleopatra. I am just a poor slave girl that Cleopatra bought in the market.
Oh. Why can't I fill my shopping basket like that? But tell us why. Why did Cleopatra send you here?
To give you a message, Osiris.
Yes.
She will bestow her favors on the one who wins the chariot race tomorrow.
Come on, Ben-Him.
Where are we going?
To get a chariot. I am entering that race. Town today.
Hail, boys. My name is Honest Demetrius, you chariot dealer.
Well, we want a chariot, the best you got.
You came to the right place, boy. Yeah. Here's a brand new Cadillac chariot with a hydromatic slave.
Yeah.
It's only got 4 miles on its speedometer.
Yeah.
You see, it was driven by a little old lady from Spartacus.
Well, I don't know. Looks sort of ancient.
No, it's a 42 B.C. model, but it's powered by a 41 B.C. horse.
Oh. Very good, very good.
That horse looks older than 42.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any teeth. Yeah. Yeah, and how come he's standing on those 4 packing boxes?
That's to keep his stomach from touching the ground.
You know, you could use a few packing boxes yourself.
I could use a few... back to Slenderella.
Look, Demetrius, we'll take the chariot. But there better not be any tricks. You know, this happens to be Nero.
Nero? Well, if he's Nero, I'm Salome.
Yeah? Well, just look at this royal crest on my ring.
Oh, pass me my veils. I'm dancing tonight.
You can say that again.
Greetings, friends, Romans, countrymen. It's a beautiful day here at the Colosseum, and the big chariot race is about to start. They're lining up, and there they go. And going to the front is the number one chariot is Nero, driven by Ben-Him. In second place is Brutus, driven by Willie Shoemaker. Now they're coming into the home stretch. They're neck and neck, and the winner is... Nero! And now Ben-Him and Nero getting out of their chariot to collect their prize, the fabulous Cleopatra.
Oh, Cleopatra, now that you are mine, Nero wishes to gaze upon thy beauty. Please remove thy veil.
Oh, that's not a veil. That's my skin.
I've been framed.
Cleopatra, you're just a little old lady. And they said you were the flower of the desert. That just to be near you was like the fragrance of perfume.
Well, it used to be true. But lately I've been getting down near the bottom of the bottle. Come, Nero. Send me.
No.
Send me.
That does it. I pass a royal decree. Disqualifying myself. Second place wins Cleopatra.
Thank you, boy, thank you. Come here, Cleopatra, kiss me.
All right, lover.
Oh, well, wait a minute, time. You're just Cleopatra's slave.
Oh, no, I'm Cleopatra. I just did this to find someone to love me for myself.
Oh, come into my arms and collect this great big bundle of joy.
Now, wait a minute. I don't get this. How did you know that she was the real Cleopatra?
Well, I'm really Julius Cronman. I peeked at the end of the script.
Oh. Hello there. This is John Heaston with news of a wonderful free offer from the makers of CBS TV sets. You know, as we've been telling you, these new CBS TV sets are the only sets ever made with all 9 of television's most wanted advances. You've heard author Godfrey rave about them. You've seen them advertised in Life magazine. Now the CBS people want you to see them in person. They want you to learn what a joy TV can be with all 9 of these important advances. So they're making a mighty tempting free offer. you go see these new CBS TV sets at your dealers, and you'll receive, without any cost or obligation, a free gift of fabulous Sortilege perfume.
Sortilege perfume? Come on, Birkin, let's go.
Well, Charlie, we're on the air.
Well, as soon as we get off the air, then, huh?
Okay. And, folks, why don't you go down to your dealers and see these great new CBS TV sets and get your free gift of Sortilege perfume? But do it soon. The supply is limited.
Birkin means shake a leg.
Good night, everyone.
With Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Smear, Gray Noble, and the entire ensemble next Sunday at the same time. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Jack Kirkwood, Carol Richards, Gary Crosby, Elvie Allman, Kate McKenna, and the Mellow Men was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce. Script by Cy Rose, Zeno Klinker, and Hilda Black. This is John Heaston speaking.